Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until midnight tonight. And we've got a special treat in store for you here this evening. I didn't know it was going to happen until just the other day, so we didn't have time to announce it last week. But we have a special guest with us tonight, Ian Juby, and I'll let him tell you a little bit more about himself here. But I saw him at the Akron Fossil and Science Center or Museum in Copley, Ohio on Thursday night, giving a PowerPoint presentation on dinosaur footprints and human footprints together. And so we're going to be talking about the subject of dinosaurs and humans. Did they coexist? The Bible, I think, teaches that they did. And certainly you may have heard people talk about that, might have thought they're crazy. Why don't you give us a call tonight, join in, listen to the program. If you know somebody who's interested in this subject, why don't you let them know that we're on the air tonight and talking about this subject, did dinosaurs and humans coexist? If they did, is there credible evidence supporting that? And Ian Juby will be joining us in just a few moments here. He's live in the studio with us tonight, and so you can join in, take part in the conversation, 888-677-9673. That's toll free anywhere in the United States. 888-677-9673. Hope you'll join us with your questions. We're going to try and keep our questions on the topic here tonight. We get into all kinds of Bible topics and questions from time to time on the program, but since we have a special guest, an expert in the field tonight, we'll keep it on that. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so very much for the opportunity you've given us to come over the airwaves once more tonight in this medium that you provided. We do pray that you bless the program tonight. We know there are people out there who are wondering about these things. They read the Bible. They see things in Job and other parts of the Bible. They wonder what it means. Well, Lord, we do pray that we could help answer questions from your word tonight. Bless the program. And again, we hope that it will point somebody towards Christ as their Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have, as I said, Ian Juby in the studio with us tonight. And Ian, why don't you say hello and give us a little background on yourself real quick.
Okay, well, good evening, Al. It's good to be here on the show and good to be here in Cleveland and area. Been here with the Akron Fossils and Science Center. And basically came down here. I'm trying to help them promote their museum because we've just opened a creation museum in Alberta, Canada, last year. And we saw a profound impact on the society's opinion on creation and evolution and the whole debate within 1 year there. And it was just fantastic, the results we saw from that. So I'm down here speaking at the Akron Fossils and Science Center and basically promoting them. And I own the first creation museum in Canada. It was a traveling one. Most people don't realize how big Canada is. That's why I have a traveling one. When I leave to drive to Alberta, I'll drive for 19 hours from my home. I can't drive anymore. I still haven't left Ontario. So I pull over and sleep for the night, and I still have to go through Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and then get to Alberta. So Canada is a predominantly rural country. So I built the museum as a traveling museum to bring it to the people rather than the people trying to come to the museum anyway. So.
Well, as I said, the presentation that you had there at the Akron Fossil and Science Museum was a tremendous presentation and a lot of documentation on this subject, humans and dinosaurs coexisting with the footprints down in the Paluxy Riverbed down in Texas. And we'll get into that here in a little bit more this evening. And, of course, if you're listening tonight, you know somebody that's interested in that, why don't you let them know? Give them a call. Have them tune in. Join us here, AM 1220, The Word. That's WHKW. Or if you're listening online, you can join us at whkwradio.com and listen online that way. And but we certainly look forward to it. We got somebody calling in already, and if you'll hold on for just a moment, we'll get to you in a moment here. But I just want to get some background and some basic information out before we get to our calls here tonight. One of the things that I found interesting with the presentation Thursday night, a friend of mine, we were talking about it, and I had always been under the assumption that it's kind of hard to fake something that's covered under hundreds of feet of sediment and limestone and things like that. And yet there's this prevalent belief out there that the human footprints that are in with the dinosaur footprints are somehow fake. They're carved in.
Right, right. Yeah, that's actually the number one response. It's a knee-jerk reaction I get from the skeptics, you know. Oh, the Paluxy tracks are carved. Well, I've been there for a number of the excavations. I've interviewed people who have been excavating there for decades, and it's exactly as you said. I mean, it's excavated from underneath anywhere from 12 to 18 inches of undisturbed limestone. I was one of the guys who broke up the limestone to remove it. So to try and convince me that somehow someone crawled under there and carved it, when it was excavated in the presence of multiple witnesses, authenticating eyewitnesses, come on, it's a joke.
Well, and, you know, people would say that to believe something like that is something wrong mentally. In fact, here in the United States, we're in a presidential campaign right now, and the vice presidential candidate for the Republicans, Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, is a born-again Christian, and she was recently had some, how should we say that? We recently had some questions as to her character and her mental stability, I guess you could say,
yes.
Because belief that dinosaurs and humans might have coexisted. I believe you've got something that you can share with us here tonight.
Yes, that was the actor Matt Damon. I thought it was kind of humorous that CBS had to find an actor, someone who makes fiction come to life, basically, to rail on Sarah Palin. And, well, actually, let's just listen to what he had to say here for a moment. It's very telling.
I need to know if she really thinks dinosaurs.
We'll get that here in just a moment.
That's important. I want to know that. I really do. Because she's going to have the nuclear codes.
There we go.
You know,
okay.
I want to know if she thinks
dinosaurs. Let me back it up here for a second.
All right. Technical difficulties. This is live radio, so got to get the right microphone, and I think we've got it. He's going to play that again. This is Matt Damon talking about Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
Okay. I need to know if she really thinks dinosaurs were here 4,000 years ago. That's an important. I want to know that. I really do, because she's going to have the nuclear codes. You know, I want to know if she thinks dinosaurs were here 4,000 years ago, or if she banned books or tried to ban books.
Okay. We'll stop right there.
Yeah, well, I just got back from my local book burning and banning thing because I believe dinosaurs were here that long ago.
Yes.
But, you know, it's like a knee-jerk reaction there. There's no real thought to what they're saying. You know, in my understanding, it wasn't until really fairly recently that the idea of dinosaurs not coexisting with people occurred. I mean, that's really not that old of a thought.
No, and plus, apparently Matt Damon doesn't realize. I mean, you've got really two choices. You've got a person who believes a dinosaur that dinosaurs and people live together, or that a frog turned into a prince. Take your pick.
Either that, or space aliens, or time travelers.
Well, that too, as well.
I especially like that when you're talking about the footprints. Somebody said that a space alien, you know, they traveled, millions of light years across the galaxy, couldn't wait to hop out of the spaceship and pull their space boots out and run their bare feet through the mud chasing a dinosaur around.
Chasing a dinosaur, yes.
So, or likewise, coming back from time. Well, like I said, this is a call-in program, and we've got a caller who's been waiting. You ready to take some calls
here?
And we'll see where the tracks take us and any other information that we can come to. Richard has been holding on for a few minutes here patiently. And Richard, are you there with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi. In light of the topic of conversation tonight.
Yes, sir.
And also with full respect for the kind gentleman's research and information. My question is, when does fanaticism become a lack of humility and mercy? You know what I mean? Like in James, he said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." When does fanaticism intrude on our mercy and our humility? Can you touch upon that, please?
I would say fanaticism, just first reaction there, would intrude when you stop thinking. For instance, the quote by Matt Damon there obviously was kind of a fanatical quote from his part, but, you know, of course, the liberal media won't usually put it that way. Mm-hmm. To say something without any consideration for, are there alternatives to what you're saying? Are there reasons for believing what you're saying? Or are there reasons for that somebody might believe contrary to what you believe? I think that kind of leads to fanaticism when you shut the brain off. And mm-hmm. I'm a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist and through and through, but I believe in thinking. And I encourage our people in our church to ask questions. In fact, I think the moment you're told not to ask questions, that's the moment red flags ought to go up. And when you look at this subject, creationism and things questioned about dinosaurs and all of that, it's amazing. Not only are people not allowed to ask questions, but, you know, they want laws passed saying that these things cannot be brought up. And, you know, when I studied evolution at Revere High School, when I studied evolution at Colorado State University, we studied spontaneous generation, and we were told nobody believes that anymore, but this is what people used to believe, but you weren't allowed to touch creation.
Okay.
Well, if they believe people used to believe that, but people don't today, why couldn't we look at it just like we did spontaneous generation? But Ian, you've probably encountered this a lot more than I have.
Well, and I think you touched it well. Anyway, there's not really a whole lot I can add there, other than I've always been a firm believer in asking questions and things. I mean, we're kind of led to the in many churches when you walk in, it's almost like you're expected to leave your brains at the door. God did not say be transformed by the removal of your mind. He said be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, so I'm a firm believer in asking questions, exactly as you said. Anyway,
So. Well, and like I said, that to me is always a red flag when somebody tells you not to think, not to ask questions. I mean, we do a Friday night Bible study specifically for that. Some things are very easy to understand in the Bible, and some things are difficult to understand. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And sometimes we hit things, and I call them spiritual speed bumps. You're just flying along through your Bible reading, and all of a sudden something hits you, and it slows you down like that speed bump in the mall parking lot. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop and think. And, unfortunately, and I'll be honest, in my profession as a pastor, it's a easy temptation for people in the pastorate to simply say, well, because the Bible says so, that's why. And that's not a good answer when somebody's got questions.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the reasons we do the program that we do, so that people can call in with questions. And one of the things in Ian's ministry, and people have the opportunity to ask questions and decide, we can present what we believe is a reasonable proof, but I can't force people to believe what I believe, and I don't know
just
if Ian does. But
I brought up the idea of, uh-huh. of fanaticism just because it a lot of people have different interpretations of
right
when something becomes fanatical, and I'm especially seeing it in my environment when it comes to intolerance of people, just in general, whether they're religious or not. A good example
That's true.
Was Damon's statement. You
know? Yes, exactly, and that is a very intolerant, fanatical statement, and it's more from emotion than reason, and that's another hallmark of fanaticism. Emotion's a good thing, but emotion, when it runs away with you and you don't think, it really can become fanaticism.
Okay.
And I think that's good. I appreciate that, Richard.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for calling Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we'll go with our next caller here. We've got a couple callers lined up. Next in line is Bob, I believe. Bob, are you on the line? Well, lost that one. We're going to our next question here, John. I think we have another caller, John.
Oh, there he is.
John, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hi, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, I was going to ask your guest, what humans does he feel that the dinosaurs walked with?
Well, that's a good question. What humans would the dinosaurs have walked with? And could I add something to this, John, without maybe destroying your question, maybe enhancing your question? Correct me if it doesn't enhance it.
Okay.
Could I add to this, is there anybody in the Bible that might have walked with dinosaurs?
Very good.
Okay. Thanks, John. Do you want to hang on or just let him talk?
Yeah, I'll hang on.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent question. First of all, it should be noted that there is no creature, either fossil or living, that makes a footprint like a human's. And the human footprints I'm referring to, if you visit on the web bible.ca/tracks, that's Don Patton's website, or my own website, ianjuby.org/delk, D-E-L-K, you can see some examples of the human footprints that have been found with dinosaur tracks.
I have that linked into the website for the program as well. Those things will be given later.
Okay.
As well, we'll give those again if we want those later on. But go ahead.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's funny you asked that question because for the past two nights in a row, I got asked the same question. I got asked by someone if the Sasquatch could leave footprints like the human ones. Well, assuming that there is actually a Sasquatch, I don't know if you had caught this, but I guess it was about 2 years ago, John. I don't know if you caught this or not. It didn't make much news, but someone came down from the Himalayan mountains with a dismembered foot. It was very hairy, had claws on it, and it looked just like a human foot, except with claws and a whole lot of hair. And it was wonderful because it was hilarious, actually, because the newspaper headlines were, "Is this the foot of Yeti?" And I remember reading one of the scientists' comments was that he was quite convinced that when they x-rayed it, it would turn out to be a human foot. I sarcastically wrote at the time that, I've got the same problem with keeping my claws trimmed and keeping the fur at bay on my feet. It didn't look, it really didn't look human. It could potentially make a human foot-like footprint, but it has claws, and the claws would leave claw impressions. The footprints in question often have toe impressions. I've got a couple of casts in my museum, one of which is only on display and is one of only two on display in the world that I know of. And that's part of the Taylor Trail. It shows clearly all five toes, the ball, the arch, the heel, and that is inside a dinosaur track. Now, the Delk track, which is on my website, that's one that's only come out in the past 5 months or so. We've actually run that through spiral CAT scanning to judge its authenticity. And what we can see with the CT scans is we can see compression in the rock. These footprints were made in soft mud, which was compressed by the footprints. That mud then hardened into rock. So we can actually see compression lines around both tracks. The Delk track is a perfect human footprint with all five toes, the ball, the arch, and the heel, and a dinosaur stepped on top of the track, and the middle toe actually clipped the side of the human footprint. So those are on the internet. You can check them out for yourself.
In other words, are you saying that humans are old enough to have become fossilized footprints?
Yes. In fact, what I'm saying is none of it is old. It's all quite young, including the dinosaurs.
So I'm wondering, like Dr. Davis said, exactly which humans made those footprints? Was it somebody that's mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, yes. I would suggest it was someone biblical, someone from before the time of the flood, is what I would suggest. The reason I say that is because the layers that these fossil footprints are found in as part of a sequence of layers that is literally found on every single continent. Now, everyone agrees the layers were made by water, but that layer is found on every single continent. So, obviously, it was all made by one global flood. So, the footprints found in them, anyway, were by humans from before the flood. Now, if you take a look in scriptures, you've also got, for example, Job chapter 40 and 41. And I think we're going to talk about that later. Are we not?
Go ahead right now.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, we're in Job chapter.
Are you saying that Job would have walked with the dinosaurs?
Yes. In fact, Job chapter 41 talks about two creatures, Behemoth and Leviathan. And when you read the description of those creatures, it's very clear those are dinosaurs. Now, you also got to bear in mind, the word dinosaur was not invented until the 1800s. Strangely, it was invented by a creationist, actually, Richard Owen, who started the British Museum of Natural History. He is actually the one who invented and coined the name dinosaur. Before that, they were called dragons. And dragons, of course, are referred to all throughout the Bible. In fact, if you go into the basement of the British Museum of Natural History, you can still see excavated dinosaur bones that are still in their plaster jacket out of the field. And instead of dinosaur, they have dragon written on the plaster jacket. So in days gone by, they referred to them as dragons, not dinosaurs.
And I was going to add there, John, too, what Ian was saying in Job chapter 40. You can see a very clear thing. This is something we did our Bible study there at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield one time. I did sort of an informal survey. I asked everybody to look in their Bible in Job chapter 40, starting in verse 15. It says, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly." And I'm going to pause in the reading because it continues on. But I said, look in your study notes, footnotes in your Bible, and what does it describe Behemoth as? And I got people who said, well, my Bible says it's an elephant. Another one said a hippopotamus. I think somebody said a donkey. Somebody said a rhinoceros. I said, okay, now look at verse number 17. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Now, you know, I grew up on a small farm. You know, we had donkeys, we had things like, we didn't have elephants, but I've seen elephants at the zoo and rhinoceroses, hippopotamuses. None of them would I look at and say, wow, that tail looks like a cedar tree. You know, the cedars of Lebanon is what we have in mind here, not on a little scrub bush. We're not about a great power, you know, a great tree. And you don't look at an elephant tail and say, that looks like a cedar. That's elephant tail is almost an embarrassment to call a tail. It's just a little fly swatter is all it is. But it says, he moveth his tail like a cedar. The snoods of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. And, you know, it continues on also into chapter. Have any animals running around today that answer to those descriptions? And presumably after the flood, a lot of these would have died out. Ian, perhaps you can add something to that or even some ongoing
investigation. Can I ask your guest, does he feel that Job lived before the flood?
No, and that's a good question, actually. Specifically, Job was written after the flood. And that's a key important question. I'm glad you asked.
I thought you said that Job walked with the dinosaurs.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm suggesting is that Noah actually brought dinosaurs on the ark, and that the dinosaurs have become extinct due to whatever climatic changes have happened since the flood.
That's... So in other words, every species of dinosaur you feel was on the ark?
Oh, yes. And I bring this up with the children because it's an excellent problem, you know, like, you know, apatosaurus can, you know, probably stand up to close to 80 feet tall if it stands on its hind legs. How do you fit that into an ark that's only 50 feet tall? Well, the solution's simple. Noah brought baby dinosaurs on the ark. And I actually have a fossil hadrosaur egg in my museum, my traveling museum, as well as the skull of a full-grown hadrosaur. Now, the egg is only, maybe 10 inches in diameter, but the skull itself of the adult, just the skull, is over 3 feet long. They started off very small and got to be huge animals. Even the titanosaurs, which are gigantic dinosaurs, their eggs were only about the size of a basketball. Now, that's a big egg, but that's a small baby. And babies don't eat a lot, don't drink a lot, they sleep a whole bunch, they don't go to the bathroom much. We like that when you're stuck on board with them for a year.
Well, also being reptiles in the confines of the ark, with the dimmer light, things like that, they probably would not have been growing very rapidly either.
Well, if they were brought in the ark, what made them go extinct?
Well,
okay, that is an area of speculation. I have to be frank about that and upfront. There's something radical happened in the past. Now, when we take a look in the fossil record, for example, giantism is a common... a common feature in the fossil record. Now, for example, when we take a look in the fossil record, we see things like gigantic dragonflies, things that today only get dragonflies with 6-inch wingspans. In the fossil record, we find that same creature with a 3-foot wingspan. We find plants that today only grow 16 inches tall. They get up to 60 feet tall in the fossil record. Something radical happened at the time of the flood.
Yeah, and also, when we think of the climate being so much different, a lot of animals wouldn't survive in the new radical climate changes after the flood. But, John, we're out of time. If you can hold on, we're coming up to the break, and we're going to lose you here in just a moment. But if you want to hold on for a minute, we can get with that as well. But we'll be back
to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. This program's brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit the Bible Baptist Church. We're easy to find, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80 cross. And we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning, our morning worship service each Sunday at 11 a.m., our Sunday evening worship service each Sunday night at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday evening midweek prayer service at 7 p.m. and a Friday night Bible study at 7 p.m. each Friday night as well. Each service is distinct, preaching through Bible doctrines, various books of the Bible, and then our Friday night Bible study is an informal Bible study. It's actually the source of this program. It's informal. You bring your Bible questions or questions about current events in light of God's Word, and we discuss them at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit, but we also want you to know the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended his love toward us, we read, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that whosoever. That means anybody and everybody. If you're listening, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Why don't you come visit us at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, this coming Sunday or our Wednesday evening or Friday night services. We'd love to have you visit. And if you'd like to contact us, you can write us at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. That's P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. We'd love to talk to you. And if this show's been a blessing to you, why don't you contact us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield and let us know. All right, welcome back to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. We're joined in the studio with special guest Ian Juby talking about is there credible evidence that dinosaurs and human coexisted? And we've been talking with John. We'll pick him up in just a moment with a follow-up question on this topic. And we've been looking at Job 41 and 41, and the evidence of dinosaurs there after the flood in relatively recent times. But I do want to mention a couple things before time gets away from us here tonight. And we've got a couple more callers calling in as well. We'll get to them. We, of course, wanted to always invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, but Viral Stalnaker will be joining us on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming up, the 17th, 18th, and 19th. A veteran church planter. He's planted churches and he's worked in Canada, here in the Painesville, Ohio area. And now he's preparing to plant churches in Washington State. And he is a Vietnam veteran, and you will enjoy listening to him. He'll be with us 7 o'clock in the evening, Friday and Saturday night, 17th and 18th. And then he'll be with us all day on Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the evening. We have a potluck dinner following the morning service. If you're listening, you're invited to join us this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. And also just an update on our prayer about our building. Like I've said before, this program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We're a small church, smaller than what most people realize. And our church sponsors this radio program. That's why we don't have to get on and beg for money and have advertisements and all of that. And but we're in the process of trying to finalize the purchase of our building. And we're praying that God will work things out where we'll get the building for little or possibly no money at all from what's left on the deal. And that's important because of being a small church. If it goes through the way it is right now, we don't have enough money for the building and the radio program. And so obviously the radio program gets sacrificed because the building is more important to our direct ministry. So if you want this program to stay in the air, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that you pray for us that the bank will work out a favorable deal with the building so that we'll be able to stay on the air and stay in our building. God knows what he can do there. He can work that out. We've seen miracles take place already. So do pray for us about our building, that it'll soon be resolved and we'll have the deed to that property, hopefully by the time the year's out. Well, let's get back to our program with our special guest, Ian Juby, talking about dinosaurs and humans coexisting. We were talking with John before the break, and John, we got a couple of callers who calling in as well, but I do want to give you a chance. You said you had a follow-up question.
Yes,
there.
I'll just ask the one follow-up question.
Okay.
And then I'll let you get to your other call.
All right, thank you.
If God knew that the climate was going to change after the flood, why would he have Noah preserve the dinosaurs?
That's a good question, except the dinosaurs may not be extinct, actually. In fact, there may still be some still alive today, specifically the Congos of Africa. There's a creature there called Mokili Mbembe. It's actually a Canadian friend of mine who's actually done the most research there, but not just creationists. Professor Roy Mackle from the University of Chicago, University of Illinois at Chicago, even in the 70s, was pursuing reports of what sure sounded like an apatosaurus-like creature in the Congos of Africa. Now, they had all kinds of technical problems, but his team, when they were over there in the Congos, saw fresh dinosaur tracks. Whatever this creature is, the local natives are terrified of it. Even right here in North America, especially in the southern United States and Mexico, we get loads of reports of what sure sound like living pterodactyls still alive and still flying around. They're nocturnal. So the only time you really see them is early evening, sometimes late at night, and sometimes early morning. So there's a huge assumption there that the dinosaurs even became extinct. Interestingly, according to Mackle, the ones that they got reports of in the Congos are much smaller than what their fossil counterparts appear. They appear to be much smaller than their fossil counterparts, assuming they are actually living dinosaurs still alive today.
I remember hearing about those even when I was back in college, back in the early 80s, and I remember reading a story where they went in with pictures of artist renditions of various types of dinosaurs, as well as things like Godzilla and other monsters from movies, and the natives would always pick out the one. What one was it? The Stegosaurus, I believe, was ahead.
It was any of the long necks, really.
Yeah, they would pick out certain ones. They never picked out the Godzilla picture or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And in fact, there is a whole area called cryptozoology, and crypto meaning hidden. And there are people out there who are evolutionists. They're not creationists. These are people who don't even believe the Bible, but they're out there. And it's called cryptozoology. Yeah, you can look it up online sometime and find out more about that stories about that. But we've got another caller who's been patiently waiting as well. And appreciate that call from John there earlier. Some good questions.
Yes, thanks,
and,
John.
And we have Chuck up next. Chuck, are you there? Hello, do we have Chuck?
Yes.
There you are. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you. I have a question out of Job chapter 41.
Yes, sir.
Verses 16 to 21. I know whenever a lot of cultures have a story that's the same, that there's usually some truth to it, like every culture on the planet has a flood story. And it sure looks like in here, I know this is poetry, so it could be poetic, but it sure looks like they're talking about a beast that can breathe fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could either speculate on that, or do you know anything about that?
Sure, yeah. And it is, in all fairness, it will be some speculation, but even recently, in recent times in England, for example, there are legends and stories of fire-breathing dragons. And again, coming back to the top of the program where we talked about dinosaurs were called dragons before the name dinosaur was made up. Now, was there fire-breathing dragons? Judging from the stories, I'm inclined to say yes. Now, there is a creature, of course, which some people know about. Those listening to the program, I'm sure Pastor Al has brought this up before. There's a little bug called the bombardier beetle. And the bombardier beetle, of course, it doesn't quite breathe fire, but it does breathe sparks and steam. It actually has two chemicals that it produces, and it's sort of self-defense mechanism if it's attacked. A friend and I actually tried to videotape this. It's very hard to do because it's so fast. It mixes these two chemicals together in a combustion chamber and has an actual rotating nozzle that it can point in any direction, and it'll actually burn the tongue of, say, a frog that tries to eat it. And it's a nifty little creature. So if a bug can do it, why not a dinosaur? There's a number of dinosaurs. For example, the hadrosaurs. There's been a number of people who have speculated that these strange chambers and tubes in their heads, nobody knows what they were for. Some have speculated maybe that's what it was for. Others have suggested that maybe that was for making sounds, honking or quacking perhaps. Nobody really knows. But again, it's pretty speculative, but that's probably where I would place it. I do think there is something to it just based primarily on the legends and myths.
Yeah, there are so many of them. I thought, you know, perhaps it could be true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Chuck, for calling. And of course, that passage that Chuck was asking about, Job chapter 41, and what it says there in verse 19, out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire leap out, which sounds an awful lot like what you described on the bombardier beetle, sparks of fire shooting out. It says in verse 21, his breath kindleth coals and a flame goeth out of his mouth. And, you know, we look at that and we always say one of the primary rules of Bible interpretation that we go by is if the plain sense makes common sense, then seek no other sense. And we can find that's
can
a good
I,
that's
can
a good
quote
one.
You on that?
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, I can't claim that as original because I still remember I heard it. Somebody okay. once said he couldn't wait till he forgets where he heard it so he could claim it as original. But okay. I haven't forgot where I heard that yet. So, but okay. But the point being, we have seen, like Ian brought out, the bombardier beetle, who is one example of a creature that is able to shoot out sparks of fire. And, of course, it's just a little bitty thing. I mean, it's not very big. But when you're talking about a larger creature such as a dinosaur, you know, who knows what possibilities were there. And certainly, we don't know all of the animals that currently exist in the world today or have existed in the past. Because when you think about it, when the New World was discovered, at least discovered by the Europeans, they found incredible creatures that when they went back to England, back to Spain, back to France, they gave reports of creatures that did certain things, and people said, you're crazy. It can't possibly be. Mm-hmm. The explorers that went down into Africa came back with rumors of these giant ape men living in the highlands, and they said that they had the face of a man and the body of an ape, and people said, oh, you're imagining. And then finally they showed, hey, look, there's the gorillas there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to understand that just because we don't currently know something, look at the coelacanth that for years they said was extinct, had been extinct for millions of years until somebody pulled one up in a fishing net. And if I remember correctly, the coelacanth supposedly was supposed to be one of your forerunners of the fish that came out of the water, I think, walking.
Yep.
And yet he lives in deep marine waters. I don't know too many places where you can walk out of water that's a couple miles deep.
Nope.
So,
nope.
But they're down there. And, you know, when they developed the bathysphere, where they could travel down into incredible depths in the oceans and some of these ocean, deep ocean trenches. We have found creatures down there that produce light. We all know the electric eel that produces electricity, which can actually shock a predator. There's animals, frogs, for instance, that produce highly toxic poisons that have been used by people in the Amazon to poison fish to bring them to the surface. You know, there's all kinds of creatures out there in the world that we just don't know about. And, you know, God could have created an entire world, couldn't he? and just put in basically an herbivore or let's say a basic ecological chain, a plant, an animal that ate the plant, and then an animal or something that decomposed the animal when it died, and that would have been all God needed to create. But let me ask you this, if you think about this, when your old car's about ready to fall apart and you think, I'm going to go down to the corner car lot, I'm going to get me a new car. Do you find just one car? Remember when Henry Ford started his famous, you can get a Model T in any color as long as it's black? You know, how much choice did you have? But if you go down to the car lot today, how many choices do you have? Well, first off, you got to decide, do I want an SUV? Do I want a van? Do I want a minivan? Do I want a truck? Do I want a car? If I want a car, do I want a sedan? Do I want a coupe? Do I want a, what do I want there? And we think about that, all the variety of cars that we have, because we want choices. And how many people, they plant a garden and they say, oh, I'm going to raise roses. I'm just going to raise one type of rose, one red rose, same species, that's it, or the same variety. Oh, people put all variety of all kinds of things. And I think God created all these wondrous creatures for us to explore and to learn about because God mm-hmm. loves beauty. And he wanted something that would actively interest us.
Yeah, and if I could, I'd like to come back to what to John's excellent call, because mm-hmm. we kind of got interrupted by the break there. With regards to humans and dinosaurs living together, now I've got a video series. You can watch it online on my website, ianjuby.org/videos, and I believe it was parts 8 through 10. I don't have the list with me. I'm going by memory here, but for John and those interested, there's way, way more to the idea of dinosaurs and humans living together than just the Paluxy tracks. That is only the tip of the iceberg. And I go into that in that video series. The whole video series was intended to be a video encyclopedia, if you will. For example, I was just talking with my buddy Vance Nelson on the phone just before we went on the air. He actually owns the other Traveling Creation Museum in Canada. And without question, he's one of the more knowledgeable guys I've ever encountered when it comes to evidence of dinosaurs and humans living together. Even as he pointed it out, I mean, he's got photographs of emblems, carvings, if you will, in brass right. etchings around a tomb in the Carlisle Cathedral in England. Now, this was made in 1496. You look at it, gee, it sure looks like long-necked dinosaurs to me. And, you know, as Vance points it out, you know, Matt Damon's, you know, complaining because Sarah Paulin believes that dinosaurs lived 4,000 years ago. And Vance's comment was, well, actually, I think it was a lot more recent than that, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
And I agree with him on that. Now, what we were talking about just before the break, something radical happened in the Earth's past. I think if the dinosaurs have become extinct, or at least some of them, mind you, we're looking at a lot of animals that have gone extinct. I mean, we have our own endangered species list. So it would make sense that some animals have possibly gone extinct. Especially when you take a look at environmental changes and radical changes that have happened between the fossil record and now. We're talking about giantism, cattails, bulrushes, which today, you know, get maybe 6-7 feet tall. In the fossil record, that same plant is 60 feet tall. I've excavated Lepidodendron fossils. They still grow in my backyard in Ontario. They, you know, today they might get 16 inches tall. That same plant gets up to 120 feet tall in the fossil record. What happened? When you take a look at the scriptural account, before the flood, people lived almost 1,000 years old, and you can watch and actually map out the ages of people as it drops off drastically. Something radically changed at the time of the flood. What was it? Well, that's open to speculation. But anyways, I thought I'd point that out. By the way, what now I haven't been on your show before, so forgive me here.
That's
what
right.
What time do we cut out of here?
We've got a few minutes yet. We got about almost 10 minutes left to go on the program.
Okay.
And again, if you're listening, it's 888-677-9673. It'll get you on the air with your question for Ian tonight or with this subject. We've actually got another caller that's called in. We have Bill on the line, I believe. Bill, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Bill. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
How you doing?
Good.
I just had a question kind of on your topic.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering about, you know, what is taught at school about evolution. You know, Charles Darwin's books and all that. Are any of these truthful or in agreement with Bible teaching or not at all?
Okay. Good question. Thanks for the question, Bill. Basically, it's like this. Evolution thrives on death and disease in order to work. That's how evolution works. Evolution works by mutations, which is disease. That's mistakes in your genetic code. And that's what it uses to change organisms into others. Essentially, an amphibian or a frog turned into a prince. That's the bottom line tenet of evolution. If evolution has been occurring, then for millions of years before Adam and Eve, and the according to the scriptures, Adam and Eve and death, or sorry, the death was the consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. Well, if evolution has been going on before that, then you have death and disease before the concept, before sin. So the Bible is not true, if evolution is true. There are a number of Christians who do believe in evolution and believe in a creator God. I must respectfully disagree. You actually undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ and the apostles, when you read through the scriptures, they were all literal young earth creationists. They all believed in young earth. They all believed in a literal six-day creation. And in fact, when you take a look through Genesis, over and over and over again, it says God spoke into existence. He spoke the planet into existence. He spoke the stars, the sun, the moon into existence. He spoke life into existence. Some might choke on that and say, well, it's allegory or whatever. But those same Christians, with all due respect, those same Christians will then turn around and they honestly believe the stories where Christ spoke miracles into existence. Repeatedly, Christ healed the blind by telling them to be healed. He didn't touch them. He didn't dig into their eyes and fix it. He spoke the miracle into existence. The apostles spoke their miracles into existence. The apostles also participated in this. So it's no wonder that it's no wonder that they believed in a literal young earth creation. And this brings up the question, which I was going to bring up with Pastor Al, so I'm kind of glad that Bill called in with this. The question arises. You take a look at the world around us. It was originally created perfect. It was a wonderful world, and right now the world is broken. Something's wrong with it. We see disease, sickness, death, all these things, but God is not fixing it. Why not? And of course, it all boils down to one thing. God is allowing the sinners to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. That's the bottom line here. This is why the world is broken, because of our actions, because of our sin. And God is not ending it, even though he's already told us he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And of course, the question arises, you know, take a look at the world around us now. It was a perfect world. It's now been scarred and marred by sin. And we now have death, disease, sadness, sickness, all this nasty stuff. Well, if that's the result of sin, do you think God's going to let even 1 ounce of sin into the new heaven and new earth? Of course not. We got to start all over again. So,
well, and along with that, he was asking about in the public schools and how this gets into the public school and different things like that. I was sharing with Ian previously what happened to me as a biology student at Colorado State University in the early 80s. I think of my sophomore year, probably about 79, 80, depending on what time of the year the class was. I don't remember exactly. But a large lecture hall filled with students being taught evolution by a professor who is an ardent evolutionist and teaching evolution. She showed up on the screen the chart of the evolution of the horse. And I just about guarantee if you get your child's biology textbook, you'll find that. Or if you go down to the bookstore and find something on horses, you'll find that in there today. Well, when I was sitting there in class, the professor, who is an ardent evolutionist, put that up on the board, said, there's one problem with this. It's not true. That wasn't an evolutionist. It wasn't even a Christian, or I mean, a creationist. It wasn't even a Christian that said that. It was an evolutionist. She said, we do not believe this to be true. We know that it's not true, but we put it in the biology textbooks because it teaches what we want to teach, and we don't have anything better. Colorado State University, in a class teaching evolution in about 1979-80, and I had another professor in a senior level forest biology class who made this statement toward the end of the course. He said, I believe in evolution because the only other alternative is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. Now, to me, there's a problem when, in order to teach something that they believe to be true, they willingly teach something they know to be a lie. Now, who does that in the Bible? Isn't that the devil that does that?
He has a name like Lucifer.
Lucifer, or something like that, mm-hmm. who's the father of lies. Mm-hmm. And we've got them calling truth a lie. And I think the only evolutionists that really believe that chart of the horse anymore is the high school biology teachers out there who are kind of suffering from bad education and the high school students. But Ian, you had something else that you wanted to talk about. You were going to bring up, I think, a past friend of yours here.
Past friend of mine, yes. And feel free to cut me off. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're a minute.
But Bill Willem and I went over to the Cleveland Natural History Museum. I hadn't realized they were one of the major sponsors for the research on the Lucy skeleton. Now, in the very last segment of my video, Complete Creation Series, again, available online, I show why that fossil is downright fraudulent, and yet it is still being used today to demonstrate proof of human evolution.
And, of course, the evolutionists don't believe that one either. Same thing, mm-hmm. Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon, mm-hmm. they're all presented as early forerunners of man. Mm-hmm. They've reclassed them. They're, believe it or not, now classed as Homo sapiens. Mm-hmm. Which is what, if you look at yourself in the mirror, you're looking at a Homo sapiens. That's what we are. In other words, they're us. We're got our music coming. We're about out of time here. But let me just share something, too. Back in my college days, we used to walk around campus looking for people who looked like the illustration of Neanderthal man. We had one. mm-hmm. But it's been good having you on with us this evening, Ian. Thank you for being with us. And, of course, your website's linked to latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That information will be given here at the close as well. And you've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hope you'll join us again next week at 11 p.m. for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Or better yet, visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We'll be glad to see you there. And God bless. I hope you have a fantastic week this week. Enjoy that good weather God's given us here these last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al,
where your questions and comments are always welcome.
Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286.
Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. To learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church,
visit our website
at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or visit next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., the Bible Baptist Church, located at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Join us again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.